Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
If you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And then we're going to go back to into the Old Testament. We're going to make reference to some verses in Leviticus and Exodus and some places like that. If you're not real familiar with the Bible, there's a table of contents in the front, and you can try to keep up, but I don't want it to be a distraction to you. You can just listen to this morning if that's just easier for you. And also, the message is being recorded, and it'll be on our website in a podcast if that's a way for you to review things, because you can pause it and go through it that way and listen to it throughout the week. And so there are sermons there from weeks previous, and want you to know that that's also available for you. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, he writes to us and he says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" In other words, more we sin, the more grace we get to draw on from the Lord. And we know that the grace of the Lord, maybe that's a new term for someone here this morning. The grace is this. Those are things that God gives to us of himself that we don't deserve. It's like God decided to express his love for us even before we really acknowledged him as God. I think that's pretty nice of him. It's kind of like around here in the winter. You don't really know the neighbor, but a lot of snow came and you just went and did their walk. You weren't looking for money. You weren't looking for fame. You weren't posing and waiting for the reporters and the photographers to show up. You just did it. Didn't even really know them other than they were your neighbor. That was gracious. That was kind. And that's what God did. He just said, you know what? I love people so much, my creation, and I want them to know me. And yet I know they've sinned and I'm holy, but I'm going to show myself to them. I'm going to let them know that I care about them. And that's the kind of grace that Paul's talking about, this grace that forgives sin. He says, should we keep sinning that grace should abound? You know, it's interesting, I can't speak for other churches, but in our fellowship of the Assemblies of God, because I've pastored different churches, you know that I used to travel and speak full time and do camps and conferences. And so was in an array of churches. And it's interesting that as time goes on, because we proclaim Christ and we proclaim Pentecost and the gift of God and the Spirit of God, and we want all these things, and we're, you know, a little freer to worship, we feel sometimes in our expression, that in the middle of all of that, sometimes we might make God just a little casual. Now, granted, one of Jesus' titles was the Friends of Sinners. He knew how to relate to people because he came to rescue us. He came to rescue us. Look at the person next to you and say, you know, Jesus came to rescue you. He did. Now, some of you might be hearing this and get offended because you think you don't need rescuing. I want you to know, we all need rescuing. I need it. Still. I need the ongoing rescuing. Help me, save me, lead me. Whether the rescuing is bringing me out of something or the rescuing is I'm keeping you from something. You know what I mean? Like, You know what I mean? We do it as parents all the time with our children. We sometimes make God a little casual because we walk in this New Testament understanding of God's grace, where we feel in the Old Testament as if it was absent of grace. The Old Testament, I want you to know, is not absent of grace. God still made a way for sins to be forgiven. That's being gracious. And in the New Testament, he got directly involved with the sending of his son. Now, that doesn't mean that God is less holy in the New Testament than the holiness of the Old Testament or the holiness that he has today. God is holy, holy, holy. Three times holy. It's just an expression. Why do they say that sometimes three times? It's an expression that he is three times holy. He is beyond holy. That's why it's used three times on occasion when they describe God as being holy. And so Paul writes, and the concern was then, you are in this grace, but it doesn't mean that we keep living the same way with the same attitudes, same actions, same internal corruptions, so that we keep drawing on this grace. Now, because we've discovered a faith in Christ and that he saved us, we discovered this grace. It's not only to forgive us, but it's to empower us to live differently now. And he says there should be a life change, a life transformation. I want us to take a look at this truth this morning as we look through the scripture and we examine our own heart and we listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Because I want you to know, as you sit here, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is going to say things to your heart and to your life that I'm just not good enough to communicate. That's the truth. I hope he does. Okay? I've had people, listen, this is so fun as a preacher, because you have people come up after services or later in the week or the following week and say, you know what, last week when you said da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I listen, and they give me credit, like, when you said that, that just really hit me. And it's and what they said was good, and it was pure, and it was based on Scripture. But I never said it. You know, it's like the Spirit says, you can talk in the bubble for a moment. I'm going to say some things here. Okay, go ahead. And I know God speaks through us. But it's wonderful, because I know that God can speak to your heart where you are in this place, no matter what you've done in life. He can get your attention, speak things to you that, you know what? Nobody else can speak to you quite like that, because he loves us. He cares for us. If he didn't, why would he take the time to do that? He cares about you. But I want us as a church, and when I say church, I don't mean just this local church, but as the family of God, those who believe in God, we got to be a little careful. And it's what Paul's writing. Don't continue in sin that grace should abound. We live in this New Testament grace. We like grace and we're free and, you know, we're Pentecostals. So we raise our hands and we can do a little Holy Ghost jig and worship. And we can, you know, do some of those things. And in the midst of that authentic expression of worship, sometimes as that becomes the culture and atmosphere that we live in, we sometimes make his holiness just a little on the casual side. Those things don't take from his holiness and make it casual. It's that in here, our approach, our attitude becomes a little casual. I want us to look at some things, because the Bible says that what? God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is no less holy today than he was in the beginning. He's not more holy now than he was at the beginning. His nature is to be holy. Just like our sin nature. You ever get this about yourself? Why am I drawn to that and I know it's wrong? Is there anybody that relates to that? Okay, good. Yeah, it's like that's wrong. And we get, as a Christian, you just get nauseous. Like, what in the world? Why would I even be drawn to that? Not that you're over there participating, but you feel this draw, this intrigue, this, you know, it's more than forget, you know. What is this inclination and this desire to gossip and hear it? You know, the sin nature. Well, understand how that works, that in God, his very nature is to be holy. He's not drawn to those things because his nature is pure. He's drawn to purity. And so when we are born again or put faith in Christ, we die to our sin nature, and now we are born again of God and we take on his nature, that we begin to say, yeah, this is what I'm drawn to. This is what I discipline myself to do. We still die daily. We still know what temptation is. We know what enticement is. But his nature is just simply, he's holy. He's pure. He's compassionate. All those things that are good. So God is no less and no more of that than he's always been. His blood was not shed so that we could just be casual as if it lessens his holiness. Well, now we got grace. So I don't need to worry about fighting against sin. I just ask forgiveness and go on in grace. And that's not the case at all. If you look at the principles in the Old Testament, that when people obeyed God, his people knew better, and they obeyed him, it brought God's blessing, it brought God's presence, it brought him near to them. Now in the New Testament, we think we're under grace. So God's just going to always be close to us. I want you to know that obedience to God now in New Testament understanding, obedience still brings blessing and brings his presence and brings his nearness. It still does. That hasn't changed. It's just the way that we are forgiven of our sins. Though sin came through one man, now redemption comes through one man, through Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep sacrificing animals and doing all these things. Listen, this human problem of following through on religion, thinking that we're okay, hasn't changed. The Old Testament, they'd slaughter the animals, but he said, you know what, this ain't sufficient. You slaughter these animals as a sacrifice for your sins to make payment for them, but you continue sinning. It's the same principle that Paul talks about in the New Testament. Jesus Christ came. God showed fullness of grace through Jesus. And he died for us. And he gives us grace. And there's forgiveness of sin. But it doesn't mean that we keep being unholy. We've walked into a grace mentality that says, I can just stay the way I am because I'm in grace. We know that we don't get to heaven by works. It's by God's grace. But that grace is supposed to have not just a forgiving work, but a transforming work, that I now live differently. I live differently. I think differently. We got to walk differently. We check the attitude in us differently. We don't just let it run. You know, let's just pull out a couple of obvious things from the Old Testament. You remember in Exodus 19, Moses, he goes to the burning bush, right? He goes to the burning bush, and it's not consumed, it just burns. And so he gets closer. And as he gets closer, a voice, God's voice, comes and says what? What does it tell him to do? Take off your sandals. Okay, shoes, that's fine, sandals, cowboy boots. Take it off. You're on holy ground. I still love that from the Ten Commandment movie. I still do. Moses. You know, I don't have a deep enough voice. You got a nice deep voice. It's just Moses. You know, take off your sandals, for where you stand is holy ground. You know, God's holy. Now, I'm not suggesting we walk in this place, we got to take our shoes off. That's not what I'm saying. It's not about the method here. It's about recognizing God, that he's holy. His presence is no less holy today than it was in the burning bush. He's the same. You look at when afterwards, and And Moses leads God's people out, and God tells him, I'm going to come down. I'm going to come down in 3 days, and I am going to reveal myself. I'm going to show up amongst my people. And so they go to Mount Sinai. I want us to look there. Why don't you go ahead and turn back to Exodus? It's in 19. I'm just having you turn there. I'm not going to really read anything. I just want you to know where it's at here. It's true. And Moses, he tells his leaders, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you what God told me. He's going to come down and meet his people in 3 days' time. So there are some things that we have got to do. And he tells them, here's a couple things. Wash all your clothes, and none of you are to have sexual relationships with your spouse. The understanding is not with anyone else either. You're going to clean your clothes, and no sex. Because God's coming. God's coming changes the normal habits of our life. Now, we have to be careful here because our tendency is to build a doctrine on it. Okay, you always got to show up with clean clothes and you always got to show up with no sex. And we build it into a doctrine. And you know what? That's absurd. That's absurd. Okay? That's absurd. We don't build doctrine on that, but what he is saying is, you know what? I'm coming, and my coming near is special. It's unique. It's different. And I'm holy. And you're not going to just be able to go through your normal habits. Because when I show up, we know that we don't want to be caught in disobedience or something unholy or something offensive. God's showing up. It's like when you have a dignitary come into your place. You know, in 3 days, you know what? I know what goes on in the house. We just got done going through multiple showings because our house is for sale. By the way, thank you for praying. Keep praying. We're supposed to close in another week or so. I know it's a showing. It means, kids, you grab stuff and hide it. No, I'm kidding. No, it doesn't mean it. It means get it to the laundry room, try to make your bed, you know, and my wife, it's just stay out of her way. Volunteer and then leave. Because she is on the, She's amazing, gets it done. God's showing up. I thought, you know, when is the last time me, not when's the last time you, when's the last time I did something out of normal habit, normal routine, on my way to my prayer time, or on my way to church, or coming up the day to church? When have I done something that not just refraining from sin, obvious sins, but refrained and restrained myself as a set apartness for God's visitation and presence in my life? When's the last time I did that? And I can answer you. I'm not going to tell you. You have to answer it for yourself. When's the last time that we have exercised out of reverence for God and His holiness, that we desire His presence? Let's face it, when we come together in this room, in this place, for a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever there's a gathering, and we know that it's going to do with worship and hearing from God's Word and being together, Don't we really want his presence here? Well, how badly do we want his presence here? Well, we just live in grace. So we just kind of, you know, stroll in and stroll out. You know, because if God wants to show up, he's just going to show up. Remember what he's drawn to in his nature? Now, compassion draws him to us as sinners because he is wanting to save us and help us and rescue us. But those who know him, who've confessed him, there comes with this responsibility that I know I'm saved by grace and I want to continue to walk in grace, but the nearness of God isn't just about his grace, it's also about my responsibility to now live to say, hey, I want you here. Not because I'm dirty and not just because I'm filthy and I got to repent. That's one way. The other is, I want you here. I want things to be ready for you to come live here. I'm setting myself apart for you because you're holy. Amen. Setting myself apart. I do something different than I do other days because I know that I'm going to church and I want your presence to show up for me and for all these people. Because your presence makes all the difference. Without him, let's just quit now and go. We can do other stuff. I mean, I gotta get moving. I gotta pack up stuff. I gotta move. God's not gonna be here. I got other stuff I can do. And if you don't have anything to do, then go play golf for me. But we want his presence here. This isn't just about a weekly obligation. This is about I wanna know him. Show up! You see, as Pentecostals, we get caught in the, we want 100% of God's move of his spirit, just, oh, and, you know, tongues and interpretation and miracles and healing and word of knowledge. And we want all of that. 100% of it. Yet, you know, we just kind of walk along at maybe 25% holiness. Because we're under grace. Grace empowers us to change and be holy so that we create a place where God wants to be, not just out of his compassion for sin, but because his nature is drawn to that which is pure and good. See, today, this isn't like milk for the baby. This is for us who have been Christians for a time. And we say, you know what? Could have had a V8. Could be doing something different. I could be preparing myself to go into God's presence. And if I prepare myself, oh, he just might show up. But if I don't prepare myself, why should he come? When I know better. If I don't know better, he is full of compassion and grace and he went and rescued. But once we know better, it's not that he doesn't rescue or pour out grace. He knows we still need it. But you know what? With that grace and that transformation and change comes a responsibility. He said, I'm coming down in 3 days. You better tell the people to get ready. And I want them to clean their clothes, and I want them not to have any sexual relations. Now, having clean clothes or dirty clothes, hear this, that's not a sin. It might be a cultural offense, depending on where you live and what subculture you live in. Not having sex with your spouse, it's not like sex is a sin. He instituted it. He made it. By the way, he made it for 2 reasons. To have children and for pleasure. To parallel the unity between Christ and the church. That's just a side note. It wasn't in my notes. And I'm not saying that because I'm a man. I'm telling you that because that's a principle of the scripture. God's about to appear, and our normal habits have to be adjusted. I'm just telling you, our normal habits have to be adjusted. Some of them are adjusted, listen to this, not just putting away sin, that's an always thing, but sometimes our habits are adjusted for a season of God's presence and visitation and nearness. It doesn't mean that it has to be, that habit has to be adjusted forever. We have to be open to it to be adjusted forever. But the adjustments and habits aren't usually sin issues. Those are already cut and dry. Don't do that no more. But the adjusting of habits is sometimes, well, to be ready for church, maybe I got to go to bed earlier on Saturday. Or maybe I got to get up earlier and pray a little more on Sunday. You know, what is it that, you know, because not doing those or doing those isn't like a sin issue. It's just a change of habit to say, I want to be ready. I want you to come. I want you to visit. I want you to be here. I want your presence. Instead of just, well, I'm strolling in grace, man. As long as the preacher's ready, we'll be good. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That ain't it. That ain't going to cut it. We are in this together. We're family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we had better start to recognize His holiness. You know, it says, draw near to Him and He will draw near to us. Well, to draw near to Him, we've got to do things and prepare ourselves and be ready to make it a place where He can come and His holiness is poured out and His Spirit is poured out and He begins to do things that He does because His kingdom comes. I love this to be like heaven. Pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We actually have the opportunity to taste of it on this side of death or rapture. Why don't you look at Malachi chapter 1. I'm going to read you verse 11. Malachi chapter 1. If you have a hard time finding that, if you can find Matthew and then go back. Malachi is the last chapter of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. Now catch this, verse 12. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Understand that when they brought sacrifice in the Old Testament to God, it was supposed to be a male, it was supposed to be without blemish, it was supposed to be without flaw, it was supposed to be able to be an animal that had good reproductive organs. Everything was fine. It was an animal that stood above the rest that you would love to keep for yourself. And he says, that is the acceptable offering that you bring to me. And instead, they may have that and they bring second best, third best, something else and present it. And they are looking at sacrifice and saying, you know, it's such a burden and oh, the Lord's table's not that great and blah, 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 blah. And they complain. And he says, wait a minute. Let me tell you why it's like that. It's because you don't give your best and prepare and offer me that which is required. Have you ever heard this? People who don't really believe in God, something bad happens in their life, and then they blame Him. You know, hello? Where is that thing? That's off. It's not correct. You want to say, wait a minute. Don't go blaming my God and you haven't even honored him. That's what they're saying. We bring these things and the floor of the table doesn't look that great and they kind of sniff at it like, yeah, that's not good enough. Let me tell you why it's not good enough. You didn't bring your best. Because he's holy and he's worthy. He's God. He's God. This is the Lord Almighty. You and I can't create diddly-doo. And he just speaks things into existence. And they're thinking that, you know, that's good enough. And God says, wait a minute. You want the Lord's table to be good? You want to be blessed? Bring that which is required. Because you know what? If you keep cheating, they're not cheating God. Understand this. They're cheating themselves. And they put themselves under a curse. Now, if they're supposed to bring their best as the sacrifice of praise, now how is that different for you and I in this place? No. We're not going to go buy sheep and goat and put them in our yard and bring them. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus already died once for all. But what about our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice of worship? Understand this. God is not asking anything of us that he did not do himself. He sent his only son. Not just the best of the flock, his only begotten son he gave on our behalf to himself to pay for sin. Because sin, it calls for an answer. And it's got to be satisfied. And it was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is satisfied. And we move on in this grace, but it calls us to responsibility and our sacrifice to praise. Am I supposed to just show up and kind of do blemished worship? It's a mockery. It's a mockery to come and, I don't know, stand and go hallelujah, hallelujah, and sing the songs and jump a little. And it feels good, but we didn't even repent of the sins that are going on in us, the internal corruption. That is saying, you know what, the Lord's table doesn't seem all that good and it seems kind of burdensome. And he says, you know why my presence isn't like it could be? Because you are not bringing or preparing yourself for what is required for my nearness. Those who know better. If you're visiting this morning, you're not sure where you are with the Lord. And all, you know, there's some good things in this message you might be able to take with you. But honestly, the message this morning is for the church. Those who proclaim that they believe in Jesus. It's to say, you know what, we live in grace, but you know what? There is a demand of holiness. There's a demand. There's a call. There's a call. When we sin, we go and repent and we ask forgiveness. But it's not just the sin, like I said, it's a clear line. It is a clear line. You forsake sin and you live unto God. But there are other things that we can adjust to prepare for God's presence and nearness. Listen, what we had this morning in worship, it was good. I sensed his presence. People were participating. For some, they feel real close to God. Some, they're not sure. Some, they're just kind of checking it out. I understand. All of that's going to go on in every service. And it should be, or it just means you're not getting new people. But you know what this morning that was good? Yeah, there's got to be more. It's got to be better. So yeah, we labor in prayer. And we practice. But what do we do to get ready for his nearness? That he might show up. That he will come close. That if I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. You know, when you have a guest and you know what they like, you prepare it, right? That's what you do. Or you say, you know, do you or any of your kids, you guys have food allergies? You know, is there anything you don't, because you prepare so that they will be pleased and they will be near, unless you really don't want them to come back again. Oh, I thought you said you liked seafood. See, we have to know what God likes, not make up what we think He likes. Okay? God likes certain things. And we can do some other stuff, but it's not what He wants or likes. You want to be near? You want to be close? And we have to know Him. And when we're first getting to know Him, there's all kinds of grace. He's just looking for a pure heart to seek Him. As time goes on, we learn more about Him and who He is and what He likes, but we still got to keep the same heart of wanting Him. Hey, you think about some of you when you first started dating each other. You wanted things to be just right. You want to know what they like, what they didn't like. You took little notes. Oh, she doesn't like when I don't get the door. Oh, she doesn't care for this stupid shirt I'm wearing. Never wore the shirt again. You know, you take notes because you want to be near. I want you to know, for some, they misinterpret messages like this or similar to this, what Paul writes, as religion. And I want you to know there is a difference between holiness and religion. Holiness reflects who God is. Religion just says, here's a bunch of hoops you jump through. And from the outside, they can look the same because there are things that we must do. But the attitude and the heart approach and God, you know what? There's relationship. But the relationship has this structure that makes it work. And it's based upon His nature. Religion? We just jump through a bunch of hoops and then proclaim it's good so we don't look wrong. And in the end, we find out we're empty. We don't want that. What time is it, please? Nobody wears a watch in this church? I love that. Hallelujah. Either that or you said, no use bringing one. He don't pay attention to it. 11. We're okay. Thank you, everyone. I'll just make reference. Leviticus chapter 10, God tells Moses and Aaron, He says, you must learn to distinguish between what is clean and unclean. What is holy and what is common. You must learn to distinguish, decide, look at. We know that sin is obvious. We know that. But there are other things in our life that we need to look at and say, is this holy, showing separated, being separate unto God, or is this just common? What is it? Because one will bring a more nearness of His presence than the other. And so we got to decide what's clean and unclean and what's holy and what's common. We've got to learn to distinguish that. And we don't just distinguish it by our own judgments. We distinguish it through the filter of what does God like and want. Because I'll tell you this, He wants to draw near to you because He's holy and He's compassionate. You know, I mentioned that those who don't know God and have a tragedy and then they blame God. You know, there are those who are Christians and profess Christ, and really, we don't do much different. We shake the finger at them, but you know what? We stop seeking Him. We stop, you know, changing our habits to adopt, you know, something new and different for a season to, you know, get ready for His visitation and for His coming and for His closeness. We don't do that. And so things don't go our way one day. And you know what? It's like you have a problem with your Savior. We have turned, the church has turned a lot of people away because of religion and that which is supposed to be righteous and a bunch of do's and don't lists. I want you to hear this out loud. There are do and don't lists. Okay, there are. There are do and don't lists. There is. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to try to say there aren't any so that you feel better about coming to church here because it gives you the perception you can do what you want in your walk with God, and it's just not true. There are do's and don'ts, but it's not based upon religion and what a bunch of men say, and then if you do all these do's and don'ts and jump through all the hoops, then you can be holy. Now, holiness reflects the nature of God. It's getting to know Him and acquainted with Him and what He likes and dislikes and how I build my relationship based on that, just like you build your relationship with the people you're close to. And because of that, you do certain things and you don't do other things. But it's based upon the nature of God. So it's not jumping through hoops. It's called working out your salvation. What is He like? What does He like? What's His voice sound like? How does He speak to me? How did He reveal Himself in Scripture? How did He treat people who were lost in sin? I'm real interested in that one. Well, He's the same. We've got to be careful because we can do a lot of the motion right. And the generation behind us coming up, they will gather some information from being in a place that goes through the right motion and where there's a little presence of God. But they need to hear and see in us that we are willing to change some habits and some things so that God gets closer when I try to draw near to Him. Preparing ourselves. Yes, it is filled with grace and it is filled with mercy. But all of those things there, grace and mercy, those two things, that is part of His holiness. It's not separate. He would not be holy if He didn't have grace. He would not be holy if He did not have mercy. Those are ingredients of who He is and being holy in His very nature. But He wouldn't be holy either if He just let everything slide. He can't. His nature is holy. And it's for our preservation. He loves you. So maybe we need to take a look at our life and say, if God said He was going to show up in 3 days and visit and come down His presence and He's going to cover the place in His smoke of His glory, well, what do you want me to do to get ready? Maybe that's how we should live and start thinking in advance of Sunday or Wednesday or on our way to Bible study during the week. Or maybe you want to just have an extra special prayer time coming up later in the week. And you still have your prayer times up to it, but you say, you know, I'm really wanting you to visit me on Thursday. I really, you know, and it's only Monday, but I'm going to start changing. I want to really, because I want you to come. I want to be ready for you. It's not just, well, God will show if He wants, and, you know, He's full of grace. Hallelujah. He's as holy now as He was in the Old Testament. Our salvation came by the blood of His Son. So different than the Old Testament, but it does not lessen His holiness. There are still things we must do to obey Him. There are still things we must do that we can change in our life that make it a better environment for God to come in and show up. And I'll tell you, it's not just for me so I get to know Him. But if we do that and He shows up, others will reap the benefit of it. Ooh. That they could actually show up in church and say, something's different here than the other church I've been to. whoa, something's going on here. And it's not a competition with the other churches. It's about, whoa, something's different here. Why is it? Because people got prepared for the visitation of God. And they recognize something's going on. Or in your Bible study. Or maybe you're passing through town and it's at your home church, wherever it is. We want that to happen. We know the kingdom of God is bigger than just this church. Oh, please. These are principles. And God is no less holy today than he was in the Old Testament. And he's not mean. So don't you hear in here this morning and walk out and feel like you're all condemned. You're not. The truth is, if you don't know the Lord, he's wanting to rescue you and be close to you. And help you. And care for you. So let him do it. And you do that by putting your faith in him. And as you get to know him, things begin to change and transform in your life. You become born again. It's like you look the same and you're called by the same name, but you're starting to think different, make decisions different, your lifestyle changes, and all of these things because they're based upon his nature and you get close to him. It's not based upon religion and a bunch of hoops to jump through. You let him do that for you today. In fact, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to bow your head all over this room. Go ahead. Close your eyes. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know, I don't have a relationship with God based upon his nature. I've let church experiences or other people formulate what I think of God. But if God is really like that, and he is full of grace and mercy, and yet he's holy, and he comes to rescue people and forgive people and begin to help them and walk through life with them, then if that's what a Savior is, then I want Jesus. And if you're in this room and you say, you know, that's where I need to be, or maybe you were there once, but the concerns of life over the years choked out your faith, and you're saying, today I realize that I have got to get back to where I'm supposed to be in relationship with God. So if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your life and you want to do that today, just say, you know, if that's who he is, I want him. I want him to come into my heart and life. I want him to be a part of my daily living. Or it was once like that, but it got lost, choked out, and you want to start that again. I want to pray for you. But this is the way we're going to do it. Everybody else is going to give you privacy by bowing their head and closing their eyes. But if you're saying, Pastor, I want you to include me in that prayer. I want to ask the Lord into my life. I need him so much. I need forgiveness of sin. I need to know him. I need to know him. I want to know who I'm praying for. So the way we'll do this is you just slip your hand up so I can see it, and then you can put it right back down, all right? And just say, include me in this prayer. I want the Lord to be very real in my life as my Savior. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else? Not to press you, but just real quick, is there anybody else? I'm going to include you in this prayer. All right, for those of you who raised your hands, as I pray along, I just want you to pray in your own heart and just say, Lord, would you come in? Come into my life. Take hold of my heart and my life. Oh, don't ever let go. Oh, Jesus, we thank you today because you still know how to take hold of our hearts. And for the people who raise their hand in this room to ask you in for the first time or to ask you in again because things have slipped away. Jesus, would you come and live in their hearts today as a Savior and as a Lord, and their life would continue to change and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Let them know that you love them, and as they acknowledge their sin to you, you forgive as they're honest, and that they can walk out with a joy and yet feel a responsibility to follow you and live according to you in your ways. So do this today, Lord, for them. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.